Thank you so much. Ann?
I have a technology question. Are we keeping track of who's actually leaving the park? Or just who's coming in?
We will be. We will have, that's part of the plan of technology. Yes.
Everywhere.
We have a plan. It's going to read the license plates. It's going to know who you are, so when you come in. You know, access point like Pawtucket Road, Peter, access points towards the south and towards the southeast. We're going to have remote cameras, remote sensors. So all these things, we are thinking about these things. These things can be monitored remotely, can be monitored far away, and the alarm can be given. I'm not going to reveal too much, but we are thinking about things like that.
Now, this doesn't mean public comment's over, but anybody else that would like to speak right now, and then we can turn it over to the trustee speaking, and then we can go back. Anybody else?
I'll speak after David.
Okay, so are we good? Okay, Trustee McFadden, thank you for being so patient.
You brought up the issue that the residents have to learn to be more polite in communicating with the police, which I, of course, agree with. But as I was acting as the manager of the police on behalf of the board, I did receive numerous
Not as manager, as administrative, just to be clear, because it's the difference. We have a liaison and administrative, but go ahead.
Numerous discussions and memos for people who had very, very negative experiences in terms of courtesy from the police. I'm just carrying the message, but it's a two-way street, and I think that there, and I can discuss these if you'd like later, but there's been quite a number of incidents where the residents feel like the police were very rude, they were treated poorly, and so, you know, I don't know if you guys want to hear it, but this is a fact. And I'd also like to say that, you know, I think while it was well-intentioned to let the traffic guards go, I think that it's very clear that the police here, and especially under the new chief, want to play a role, and it's not community policing. And I think we should accept the fact that we made a mistake and bring back the traffic guards.
I think that's
one opinion.
I'm
well, yeah, it's my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, that's
but
my opinion.
You stated that the officer said that, but I just think
I did not. I said that I think it's time that, you know, we say that we were well-intentioned in trying to save the village money, but in fact, having the traffic guards here, they're more than willing to pay top dollar to have both that concierge service as well as a strong police force and security. And I think that we should say, okay, let's rehire them. I don't think there's any harm in doing that, and that's my opinion.
Thank you.
No, Mac, I think, you know, if we do want a concierge service, we don't have to hire a traffic guard to be a concierge. We can hire a concierge to be a concierge.
Well, I meant in the context of what you've been talking about tonight,
but
not as an actual concierge.
We don't need to lessen the security just because we're going to hire also a concierge. You want concierge service, he'll be a concierge.
It's fine.
Can I speak, Dave?
It's just my opinion.
If you all want a concierge service, we can hire that level of employee. It doesn't have to be a traffic guard.
Exactly.
We just want what we have.
All right,
thank you.
Many years.
Thank you. So, Trustee Moon?
Yes, I am the liaison to the police. I'm also a former law enforcement official. And I have a lot of confidence in Officer Tabak and the chief. I think if you have concerns about your security, I encourage you to set up a meeting with one or both of them and discuss the many aspects that go into a police force. So a really apparent aspect of our security is the gate, because it's the most visible. But as this discussion has laid bare, there are many vulnerabilities that are extant other than the gate, right? There's the woods, there's the training. And so what I understand from the chief and from Officer Tabak is that we have a force now that is better armed, better trained. There are people with better experience. For example, we now have a retired DEC enforcement officer. We now have a retired internal investigations officer that add to the law enforcement capability of the force. at the same time, I understand that there's going to be a real need, as Gary Pompan put it, for a transition. You know, and maybe it can work. Maybe we will have all things. We will have police that know the people and people know the police. What I don't think we should do now, I disagree with Trustee McFadden, that we stop and don't let this experiment play itself out. So that's where I stand. I'm ready to vote on a booth design. That's what we're here for, right? I'm ready to vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Trustee McHugh?
I get just a couple things. I think, to me, what this survey laid bare was really a referendum on the current situation. I think most of us are upset how the transition from the gate guards leaving and the police force going in. We don't think there's the same civility that used to be. There's no longer the interpersonal interaction, and I think that's been laid bare, and I also think that's a huge teething issue, too. And none of us know any of these officers, and, you know, it's that creates a problem, and none of us can see them when we drive up. You look up, there's blinds down, you just know somebody's talking in a crackly voice to you, either waving you on or something, or the gate's up. So I think I share everybody's frustration with regard to that. I guess what I find most troubling about this whole conversation is, you know, what everybody wanted was, you know, want to keep our taxes unchecked, and we spent a lot of time last year dealing with that, trying to get our costs down and everything. And one outcome of what we're talking about is, as the police chief mentioned, is we're going to have additional officer. If we don't have an additional officer, then it's a gate guard, but if we have additional officer, we're increasing our police force at any one time by 50%. So our police costs are going to go up. So nobody's really factoring that in. As Mr. McGregor pointed out, is given technology and Skype and everything, the cheaper solution in terms of staffing going, you know, to perpetuity is if we have good technology where there is an interface, you drive up, you do see the officer, you do know that there's a camera on you. It, to me, seems to address a lot of the issues the former police chief has talked about and acts as a deterrent, because not only do you have one set of eyes on you, you've got one set of eyes which is going to be kept for a very long time. And that's a very good deterrent there, because now we have a record of what this person looks like and facial recognition. So I think that solves that. I guess my other concern is that it's always been the discussion is we're going to replace, what are we going to do, and not really thinking about, let's figure out what the problems we have right now. 8 o'clock in the morning, you try to get in the park, the traffic's out on Route 17. Anybody who goes to Audie Daudry's realizes that you're like, shit, you have to stay a little bit longer or go earlier and then get back. Otherwise, it's a caravan waiting and it's dangerous. So, you know, we need to address that situation. That's why I was in favor, given the huge sums we spent on the keep, was making an access point on the right-hand side so there was a resident and non-resident access point. Or do we change how we have contractors coming into the park and they can no longer enter in the main gate, and we make it visibly a far nicer entrance, and the contractors either have to go through the south gate or we make an access point at the north gate? I think that should have been part of the discussion. I think it should be part of the discussion going forward. My last comment's a little bit chippy, and you know, we went out and asked the population what we thought of this. If we'd done that on Brook Road, the results would have been 2-1 not selling it. So I think it's dangerous to just say we got X people saying this and we're doing what the people want when we didn't do what the people wanted previously. So that's my only chippy comment.
Thank you. All right, so that's been the trustees. We'll bring it back out to the public.
I actually agree completely with Chris, and I also with Gary and a lot of the comments from the chief. I'm in favor of having a booth, but I actually think we can solve the issue of having extra policemen, like having to hire an extra policeman for the booth and having a policeman in the keep at the same time. I don't think you have to do that. I think you can solve it with technology, in the sense that we can have a completely redundant system to control both the south gate and the north gate, which is what we did before in the booth. South gate and the main gate in the booth. I also have all of the connections, redundant connections to everywhere, from that location and either have the policeman in one place or the other. And my comment on the comment section of the survey was that we should have optionality at the front gate. This board thinks a certain way, and the next board may think a totally different way. And the chief and the various people in the police force will also change over time. So, and like that, but I also believe that technology never solves everything, in the sense that there will be days when we will need a person. We already have this experience at the back gate. The back gate, when the back gate is messed up, for a variety of reasons, I think we're working on solving this now, but you can't just have a policeman stand there. Right? They have to have access to a bathroom, they have to have, you know, protection over their head. Not a policeman, any type of person. So I think that, to me, the question is, do we put back a building that houses a person that is safe and also is now part of our own times? The times today are policemen get shot. Right now, I was very surprised to see that on the day that I went with you to go see that guy that was hit, you know, there was a police officer. I thought he was a police officer. He was a police officer with half a shirt on. He had a Tuxedo Park police shirt on, and he was pushed back by the resident when that person knocked into the gate. We definitely have to build a back of booth that can withstand serious pressure. So technology in terms of construction has to be great. We also have to have optionality at the front gate. And we have to have redundant systems. That's my point. Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right. So any further comments from the trustees?
Yeah, I would like to say the mirror systems that you spoke about, we're contemplating on this option. It'll be a mirror system, and everything can be controlled either from the key or from the booth. Yeah, that's what's going to be decided.
Well, the first thing I'd quickly like to say, because I will turn it back over to John and John, is, first of all, I thank everyone for coming. This is a very, very important decision for this board. We have not taken it lightly. We have not taken, just sitting around waiting for time to go by. You know, we realize that time has gone by, and we have used the time for many things we had to look at, past board and this board, that we really had to go through certain steps to get to the next step correctly. Knee-jerk reactions don't work when you're talking about the entrance to a very, you know, historical community, and it's going to cost a certain amount of dollars, which I'll get into about the cost in just a minute of how the fundings, because that was some of the questions. So it's important. This is going to be around a long time, and it's the first impression when you drive into the park. It's also going to be the optics for your security. You know, it's true. When someone pulls up and they know there's police there, they're going to know, you know, this is a, you know, more secure area than I thought it was. So just the mere optics of that is very critical. And that was many of your comments. Where is the money going to come from to pay for whatever we're going to do, whatever this board decides tonight? Because we're going to decide tonight. We've got to get going and do, you know, we have to birth this project, right? We didn't ask for it. It happened to us. So the insurance company paid a certain amount of our money, you know, our insurance company. And as you can see on the spreadsheets there, they've funded, I think it's $145,000 and change to date. So, and then also there was a donation, as you can see. So we are still in the black. We had to do certain measures in the keep as an emergency. So I'd like to kind of like, let's go through the spreadsheet for just a moment, because that may help. So when we put into the keep, there were certain things we had to do. So, you know, it was not the perfect environment for everyone to be in, and we had nowhere else to go. So we had to mediate certain things, and those were done. And as that was being done, the insurance company would kick in a little bit more, because the insured person that hit us did have to pay. And the insurance company is dealing with whatever that is. But we're not just going to bank on what they had to pay, because what they paid is what it is. And it wasn't going to be near what this would cost to put back at the end of the day, what we had to go through with going into the keep, etc. So as you can see on the bottom, and we still have some bills coming in, but if you go to the second page, we still have $120,000 left. And all of those, the donation and the insurance money, those are directed funds. We have to pay for what they, you know, this this project. You can't put it towards a water sewer main or fixing something in the lake, et cetera. It has to be for this particular, you know, project. So we have a few more bills coming forth. We also had a resident in the survey state that if more money was needed, they would raise some more additional funds. And we're very appreciative of that. So more than likely, the risk to the resident is going to be very, very little, if at all. So just to put your mind at ease, we're not going to all of a sudden go, we've got to like go for $100,000, you guys, or, you know, any of that. We're going to make sure whatever we do, and John can, you know, Mr. Kinnear can go a little bit more into detail on some of these because this is what he does for a living, that we will keep those costs to whatever monies we have. That's what we're going to try to only spend, because that's the fair thing to do, because we didn't ask for this problem. But at the same time, we're not going to compromise the safety and security of what we're going to do. All right? So I just want to ask really quick, does anyone have any questions about the spreadsheet on the expenses?
Can I say something, Mary Jo?
Sure.
I think what we're saying here is that we have the driver's insurance, we have our own insurance.
Right.
We have a donation of $400,000 because we did Silverbrook Road.
360.
Sorry. And in the past 12 months, we've come in under budget. So we've actually put money in the bank. So we have this covered. Whatever we're building, we have it covered. And I think that's what we need to be looking at.